Lazarus is dead. I am glad that I am back, so that you will believe. Let us go to him.
Where have you been?
Come and see.
Welcome to Resurrection Sunday, my friends. Welcome to Resurrection Sunday. I told you a few minutes ago that I'm big on truth and advertising, and that's what we're going to get here at the Bridge. Welcome to Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. I want you to know that the world treats this day oftentimes like it's neat and pretty and nice. Well, we've got an awful lot to celebrate. I want to take you this morning on a walk that is more real than nice. I want to take you into your Bible, my Bible, into God's Word. And this morning we are beginning a new series that we're going to spend an awful lot of time in called The End. The End. The end of what? The end of your Bible. We're going to walk through as a church the book of Revelation, verse by verse, piece by piece together. The end of Good Friday and the incoming of Awesome Sunday. Amen. Amen. We're going to take a walk together through what I call truth in advertising, which is to say this: Easter is not about the colored eggs and the chocolate bunnies and the wonderful ham roast that'll be coming in a couple of hours. Easter is not about a pretty story. Easter's about rocks and caves and torn flesh and divine miracles. Each one of you, I pray, was given a stone as you walked in this morning. And if you didn't receive one as you walk out, you'll be given an opportunity to grab a stone. You see, on Friday, if you call the Bridge home, you received an email from me in which I encouraged all of us to contemplate what was going on 2,000 years ago on what we call Good Friday. To contemplate this definition of good. What made it good? To contemplate what took place from that Friday to this Sunday. Truth in advertising would say this: if you want to know what we celebrate on Easter, we celebrate the fact that we didn't have anything of the Friday and we get to receive all of the Sunday. Amen. You see, we have a risen Lord and a Savior who went to the cross and whose flesh was ripped like ribbons, who was tortured and scorned and spat upon, who said, "While I am perfect and have known no sin, I will come and let them beat me, scorn me, torture me, nail me to a cross, put a spear in my side." Why? Not so that we could color eggs in 2009, but that each and every one of us that accept Christ as Lord and Savior would know that we have, represented and proven by the rolled away stone of the tomb, a ticket prepaid to eternal life. You see, I want each one of us to take one of these stones today in remembrance of Christ and what he proved on Easter Sunday. You see, on Good Friday, the world scorned him. Most of the people that were there were afraid and worried. Most didn't understand, even his closest disciples. Oh, but come Resurrection Sunday, when that stone was rolled away and the living, risen Lord walked out alive, having conquered death forever. In so doing, and out of the love that he took to the cross. If you call the Bridge home a number of months ago, we had a service very similar today where I asked each one of you to take a nail home and to keep that nail in your pocket or in your purse or on you at all times, that you would remember that we, each one of us, you, me, we were the nails that held him to the cross. And that it would only be that you, when you understood that you were a nail, that you are a nail, only then could you understand and appreciate the gift of grace that you received when he walked out of the tomb and extended to you the gift that said, if you will love me, if you will live in me, then I will bring you home with me to heaven for eternal life. And so this morning I ask you at the onset, don't leave here this morning without your stone, without your reminder of what Easter Sunday really represents. You see, it was the stone that moved away, that proved that you have an opportunity to live forever with Christ. The gift is not the stone. The stone is the evidence of the gift. Your gift is grace. Your gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ. This morning I want to begin our series called The End by taking you to the very end. I have one verse of scripture to share with you this morning. It will embody our time together. It is the end of the end. The very last verse of your Bible. Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. It is the end of the end. Now, I want to tell you up front again, truth in advertising. Many of you are here today as a guest. I want you to know up front, I'm not trying to give you a neat, sweet Sunday for Easter. I am aiming for impact, and I want you to know right up front, I am targeting the bullseye of your heart on behalf of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. I want you to leave here knowing that there was a real cross. There was a real stone that moved away, and a true, living, breathing Lord walked out of that tomb. And he is here today offering to you the gift of a personal, vibrant relationship. I'm going to do this in a way that's not very traditional. And so I pray that you sit this morning ready to be a little surprised. Kind of like hearing Nickelback, The Old Rugged Cross, and then Roger Daltrey bang out a Who classic. A little out of the box. We're going out of the box this morning, but I pray that you hear me. It's so that Easter will become real to you. Not a holiday, but a Messiah. Not an event, but the birth of a relationship. We're going to go through this book of Revelation constantly aiming for impact. Because otherwise, what are we doing? You have better places to be on Sunday morning. You probably could have got the early bird special on the brunch. You don't need to be here if it's simply a calendar checkoff. This is all about eternity. Your eternity. With the one true risen Lord. Amen. It's about truth and love. Here at the Bridge, we say this a lot. It's about truth and love. The problem nowadays is most people argue about what is truth. I want to show you a little contextualization of the problem. And I want you to know up front, there is no wavering here. Take a look at this.
This is a red balloon. It's true, it's red, we all know our colors. The absolute truth is that this balloon is red.
No, it's not. That's green.
What?
This right here is a green balloon.
That is the prettiest yellow balloon.
Yellow? This is red. Yeah, come over here.
No, it's green.
It's red!
Yeah, I know, it's a red balloon.
Hey, will you look at it from my point of view, please?
What?
Hey, nice blue balloon.
It's green!
Green? It's red.
Why are you saying it's red when it's blue? Huh?
It's totally purple from here!
Purple? Okay, you know what? Let's just settle this once and for all, okay?
Where are you going?
Hey, what color is this balloon?
I only see in black and white.
Okay. Hey, Mark, what color...
There is no balloon.
This is ridiculous!
Hey, I know what the problem is. Look, my mom taught me that this was blue. But, you know, then she said this is red and green, yellow, you know, and on and on.
Okay, I get that your mom taught you that that was blue, but I mean, that's not the truth.
Whoa, why are you talking bad about his mom?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Listen, I respect your mother.
Thank you.
And the way she raised you. She taught you that it was blue. Our moms taught us that it was red. That's the way it goes.
I thought you said it was green.
It is green. See, I'm smart. I went to college. And in college, I learned all these different theories about color.
Really?
And my color professors, who have doctorates in color. Do you have a doctorate in color?
No.
It shows. Okay? They can't even agree on one theory of color, so you have to look at all the different theories and pick which one works best for you. And green is great for me.
That makes sense.
Thank you.
No, you can't just pick whatever color fits your life the best. Red is red.
Okay, do you know the word intolerant?
Yeah.
Because that's what you're being right now. All right, you're shoving your opinion down my throat.
Okay, it's not my opinion, it's the truth.
Hold on. All we're saying is that we need to stop arguing about trivial things. Like truth.
You know, the funny thing about truth is, it's true, whether you believe it or not.
Can you relate? You feel the context? Now, I'm here to tell you as a preacher, as a pastor, but as a real guy. I mean, I'm just like you. That's happening all the time. And it's happening more and more when we talk about the truth of God's word, about the truth of Easter. Oh, it's a nice holiday. Let those Christian people, you know, let them think it's the truth is truth. This is God's word. He says this, that in the beginning, God created. And in the end, all of us are sinners in need of a savior. Left to our own devices, we can do nothing for our eternity. Most of us would admit, if you're honest, we don't even do a pretty good job down here. You know, the more we take over our lives, the more control we grab, the more trouble we get into. I have yet to find a soul walking the planet who would say to me honestly, looking me in the eye, yeah, you're darn right, I'm a master of my domain. I control my own destiny. I've got life under control. And I'm exuberantly happy. And I'm on top of the world. It just doesn't work that way. Truth of the matter is, we were made to be in relationship with Christ. There is a God-shaped hole in every human's heart that only God can fill. And not God, the tree hugger God, not the I love a rock God, not the Buddha belly God, not one of the 330 million Hindu gods, not Allah, the God who's telling you to blow up babies and buildings God. All small letter G gods. Only the one true, proven on Easter Sunday God who said, death cannot contain me. And I am doing as I said I would do, proving for all for eternity that I am the one God that you capitalize the G for. That's the truth. Now in that truth, we've got to come to another place. You see, it's kind of like going up a hill. You get through one step and then here's another. Well, let me tell you about the next piece. As we come into God's word and I take you to the very end of the Bible, 10 words in the NIV, 9 if you're King James or if you're in some of the other translations. Here it is, the last verse of the Bible, last words spoken to God's people through his word. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen, amen is the last word in the Bible. The grace. We'll take a look at what the grace is. Of the Lord Jesus. Whose grace is it? And why do we give him the title Lord? Be with. What's that mean? It means 24/7, my friends. God's people. The called out ecclesia. The church. An affirmative at the end. Amen and amen. Let's talk about this first part, the grace. What is the grace? The grace is the fact that we have the opportunity to be in personal relationship with the one true risen Lord. That he loves us enough to have come down and died for us personally. For you. For me. For all the stuff that's in your closet that you don't think anybody knows is in there. He knows. He didn't wait for you to clean it up. He died. Before you had a chance to get quote unquote good enough. You see, he didn't die because you got good enough. He died because he loved you and wanted to make you good enough by offering you the gift of grace. We celebrate Easter because it proves that we have been given the gift, the opportunity to receive the gift of eternal life. It's a relationship that's built on the fact that Easter is not a holiday. for a holiday's sake. It's a memorial. It's a remembering. It's a statement of historical fact that Jesus lives. He's alive. Let me show you a piece that sadly represents what happens under the tent of religion when the purpose of relationship is missed. Easter is not about religion. It's all about relationship.
Drew, Laura, it's so good to see you. It's been so long.
Jesus, what is he doing? You're supposed to be dying right now.
What?
Get back up on the cross and stay there until we tell you to come down. Play dead.
Oh, but I haven't seen you in so long, you know? I mean, I just want to sit and talk.
Jesus, I'm so sorry you had to die for us. That must have been so terrible.
Yes, I died, but look, I want you to concentrate on my life. I'm alive now, you know.
Technically, you're not alive until the last 5 minutes of service. Now, put this on.
What are you doing? I've already been through all this, guys. Look, let's focus on our life together.
Okay, Jesus, we're remembering you. We're sorry you had to suffer.
Yes, I suffered, but I want you to understand what the suffering was for. It's so that you could live like me.
Did you really go to hell for us? Oh, I can't imagine what that was like. Was it hot? Did you see Satan?
Okay, is this a joke?
You know, Jesus, you're not taking your death very seriously. Now, please, be respectful of what you did 2,000 years ago.
My death is where life began. I did that so that we could have this.
Jesus, please forgive me for my sin.
Whoa! Guys, stop this. I'm alive.
Jesus, we know you're alive. Now hold still.
If you know I'm alive, why do you keep treating me like I'm not?
That's happening all around the world today, Easter Sunday, in countless churches, where religion is what's leading the way instead of relationship. You see, when we celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive, we celebrate that the end, as we talk about it, it was the end of the end. There is no longer an end as we know it. We've all been built for and have been born for forever. The question is, where are we going to spend it? The fact that Jesus is alive put an end to ambiguity. The fact that Jesus is alive put an end to worry, put an end to self, put an end to doubt, if you'll embrace it. If you'll say to this gift of grace, yes, thank you, Lord. I recognize that Easter's not about chocolate bunnies. It's about a risen Lord. I thank you that you've put an end to my world of worry and doubt and this fear of what is on the other side of eternity. Now that's only true for those of us who will embrace the gift and the truth of Easter Sunday, of Resurrection Sunday. Of the fact that the stone that I hope you have and carry in your pocket reminds you that Jesus is alive. This gift of grace is in reality the gift of relationship with the creator of the universe, the one who controls all things, who loved you enough to get personal. Now this grace, it's important that we understand from whence and from whom it comes. That verse says, the grace of ownership, of possession. From whence it comes? It comes from the Lord Jesus. Understanding that he is Lord, that he's alive. The question then becomes, is he my Lord? He proved to all the world that he is Lord when he came out of the tomb. The question that we have to personalize is, are you my Lord, Jesus? And I'm here to tell you, as one who has a lot of friends and family that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you can't push your lordship of Jesus into somebody else's life. You can't pull somebody into a lordship relationship with Christ. This is personal. Each one of us has to make our own choice And each one of us becomes responsible for our own relationship. You might be somebody sitting today or within the sound of my voice. Say, yeah, I know. I've been going to church my whole life. I could care less. And it means squat at the final fork in the road of eternity. It doesn't matter if you've gone to church your whole life. Well, I can recite chapter and verse. Doesn't matter. I've never done a bad thing in my life on the big picture. Doesn't matter. I'm a good person. No, you're not. And if you were, it still didn't matter. What matters is, do you accept Jesus as Lord? Oh, I believe in him. So does the devil. Greatest distance in the world goes from here to here, 18 inches. Believism is the great drug of our day. I believe. Doesn't matter if you only believe. Do you accept as Lord? Is he the boss of your life? Are you crazy in love with Jesus? That's lordship, evidenced by how you live and the choices and the priorities. We say here, your lips don't really give the answer. Your life gives the answer of your soul. Somebody might say, I go to church, I'm active in the church, I don't swear, I don't cuss, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't dance, I don't play cards, I don't blah, 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 all this stuff. Doesn't matter if you don't know Jesus as Lord. I want to show you one more video here in a way that contextualizes just one little sliver of whether or not we accept Jesus as Lord. I could do this in terms of our priorities. Let me see your calendar. Let me see your checkbook. Let me see who you're hanging around with. Who are you pouring into? Let me take a snapshot of your life. Here's just one little sliver that shows how complex and how comprehensive the Lordship of Christ is. And if we're honest, all of us will be able to relate here as well, at least to some extent. Take a look at this.
Laura.
Hey, Lord.
So how did it go with Kat? Did you talk to her?
Oh, well, Lord, not exactly.
Did you forgive her?
Well, Lord, I mean, I was just thinking, like, why should I forgive her?
Because I asked you to.
Well, yeah, I know you did, Lord, but why?
We shouldn't have to know why, just that I asked you to do it.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, Lord. I mean, you don't understand the situation. Kathleen has an attitude problem.
Laura, you believe that I know what is best for you and for Kat?
Well, yeah, Lord.
Then you'll do this.
But, Lord...
This is no different than when I've asked you to do anything else.
Yes, this is, Lord. This is way different.
When I asked you to quit your job, you quit.
Well, of course, Lord, but I didn't like my job, so I was happy to leave, you know? I mean, this is way different. Okay, Lord, you know what? I've got an idea. How about we give it a week and I'll pray about it?
I'll give you my answer now.
But, Lord...
Look, Kat's coming by here very soon.
She's coming
okay?
by here? Yes. Well, let's go.
Now's your chance to talk to her. I want you to forgive
Lord,
her.
Lord, you don't understand it.
Hey, Laura, hi. It's been like 2 weeks since we've had coffee.
Yeah. Oh, it has.
We should totally get together this week.
Oh, wow, I can't do that. I am so busy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, how about next week?
Well, you know, actually, I don't think it's going to happen for a while.
Oh. Well, is everything okay?
Oh, yeah, everything's great.
Uh-huh. All right. I guess I'll just, see you later then.
Bye. Lord, did you hear that attitude?
I thought you were going to forgive her.
I thought you said we could wait a week, Lord.
No, you said that.
Oh, okay, Lord, you're being unreasonable, okay? Why don't you just go talk to Kathleen and have her come to me and ask for my forgiveness?
Laura, you need to obey. I want you to forgive Kat.
But Lord...
Why do you keep calling me Lord? You won't even do what I ask.
We've made the point here at the Bridge that two words cannot go together in the Christian language. No, Lord. You cannot put them together. Not if you're going to have integrity with your definitions. Here in our passage this morning, the last verse of the Bible... We hear the grace of the Lord Jesus capital L. There's a Lord that means somebody that you show honor to, and you spell it with a small L. Your Bible speaks to a Lord with a capital L. God of all creation, Lord of our lives. Easter Sunday celebrates, and if we celebrate in honesty and in integrity, if we truly celebrate Easter, it's to celebrate that we're saying Lord with a capital L, that we have the privilege and the blessing of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. Well, the next question that we look at in this is the next two words. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with. Be with. Don't tell me you're going to make something out of that too, Pastor Jeff. Oh, you better believe it. This is where we get into the real deal stuff. This is rubber hits the road time. What do we mean by be with? We mean that be with is a 24/7. It's who you are. You don't live in compartments. Well, on Sunday, I'm my church me. Or when I see the folks from church at the grocery store, I turn on the church me. It's I'm me. I'm a child of God who knows and counts the privilege of having the Lordship of Christ, who rolled away the stone to prove it in and through my life. That's what it means. It's all aspects of life. It's not just in the spiritual. It's in the financial. It's in the attitudinal. It's in the very fiber of your being. To be with Christ, to have His grace, to have received the gift, to have it permeate who you are, it's to live in Christ. Not just be busy for Him, but to live in Him. Let me show you how our friends have contextualized that as well.
Do you get it? It's an interrupting cow. He interrupts. That's what
come
he does.
On.
He's a moo, right?
That is so dumb. It's a knockout
dumb. It's
joke.
Funny.
Hey, Laura.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures.
What are you doing? It's me. It's Jesus.
Lord, we take up our cross every day for you.
Oh, thank you. But the cross is where it begins, not end.
Thou art the beginning and the end, Lord, Alpha and Omega. It's all about you, Jesus.
Guys, I just want you to be real with me.
You are the air I breathe. You are the air I breathe.
Drew, I think it's great when you worship me.
Oh, yes. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
It's just that sometimes it feels like you're putting on a show.
Oh, Jesus, please forgive me for putting on a show and being fake.
Okay, I forgive
you. Oh, praise you for your grace, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Guys, just say what you would normally say.
Praise hallelujah.
No, I mean, like, you know, if we were talking, you know, say what you'd say. Okay. Drew, tell us a joke.
What?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you were before.
Thou art holy, Lord.
That's not a joke.
Oh,
no, I didn't mean that. What are you guys doing?
Jesus, we're living for you just like we always do.
Don't live for me. Live in me. When you live in me, you'll understand who you are and what you're living for. I just want something a little bit deeper. But if this is all you want.
Let me ask you the easy question. Here it is. Easy question. Anybody ever met anybody like that? Come on, don't be shy. Now be shy, because here's the hard question. Ever been that guy? Real deal to understand and appreciate and celebrate Easter is to embrace the be with clause of God's gift. Because remember, the word is grace, but the meaning is relationship. We're not, I've, It's really kind of an odd thing because most of my life I was just like you in terms of my vocation. You know, I'm a recycled businessman. I'd be going down the frozen food aisle and see the pastor. Oh, hey, pastor! Well, now I am him. It's really kind of weird. Okay? I just want you to know, I love that because it's real. When you see me or anybody else in any kind of ministry position, please just be yourself. And when you're with the Lord, just be yourself. You know, one of the reasons why I ring that bell so often and so hard is because that's the essence of credibility. Just be who you are. You know, we got warts. We have shortcomings. We all do. Jesus doesn't want us spit and polished. He wants us, real, who we are. You know, and we don't jump into that, oh, cross position. Just be who you are. Come to a place where other people are being who they are. We're walking together on a journey towards heaven, doing all we can to learn and to celebrate our love for Christ every day, growing in that vertical relationship so that we improve and grow in our horizontal relationships. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with. I pray all the time for you that the grace of the Lord Jesus will be with you. Next two words in the NIV says God's people. Some of the other versions say all. And the all doesn't represent all of humanity. It's all that have accepted this gift of grace. God's people. And what I want to point out to you here is he doesn't say the grace of the Lord Jesus to the pastors. He doesn't say, and the grace of the Lord Jesus to that radical, wacko, zealot Christian friend of yours that's over the top. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all of God's children. Amen. I want to encourage you to embrace your relationship with Christ, to live it. I pray that while I may embarrass my children on occasion, admittingly at times on purpose, that they will never shy away from the fact that I'm their dad and that they are my children. And if that means something to me, can you imagine how much more it means to Jesus who went to the cross and took our sins, was beaten and scorned the way he was? Can you imagine how he feels when we either shun him, walk away from him, act a little embarrassed, don't want to go over the top, it's not like you went to the cross for me or something. Or how about this? How about when we just get lazy? How about when we just say, hey, I got my stamp. What's the big deal? We turn into the frozen chosen. Couch potato Christians. Let me let you in on a little secret. If you're comfortable on the couch, you're probably not a Christian. Now, that one will get me some emails. But that's where the rubber hits the road. He says to all of God's children, he's calling not just those of us that have made a vocational change in our lives. He's saying, if you know that I rolled that stone away, if you know that Friday had your name all over it, if you recognize that you were one of the nails that held me to that cross, then I expect you, I command you, to walk in relationship with me. Don't you dare grab the pom-poms for Easter Sunday in the church and then hide them Monday through Saturday. I died for you. It's time for you to live for me. Amen. Let me show you a way that, again, these folks are brilliant, aren't they, this ministry? Let me show you how they go from preaching to meddling and they get in our craw a little bit. One more place that's going to make us squirm. Last one, I promise, from these folks.
Jesus, I am so excited today. It's like I woke up and thought, today is the day to get working for Jesus.
Kat, I'm so excited to find someone who's ready to take action and get things done.
Oh, man, I am that girl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've got something perfect for you, so let's get started. What are you doing? Stand up. Remember, we were going to take action.
Yeah, but this is where I always sit.
Right, but I need more than this.
Oh, I know what you're getting at. Okay, Jesus, how much do you want?
What?
$50? Is that enough?
Oh, that's not what I meant.
Oh, all right. Well, 100 then, you know. I mean, you drive a hard bargain. Okay, but you might not want to cash this till next Friday. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There you go.
Okay, Kat, really, I do think it's great that you want to give, but I want you to mentor a younger woman.
Ooh, yeah, right. Well, Jesus, you know, I'm not really into, like, teaching people and stuff. I mean, I don't really get into that.
Okay, you know that woman at the office, Amy?
Yeah.
I want you to take her out to lunch. Tell her about me.
Well, Amy is different. I mean, like, really different, you know?
I know, but she needs to know about me.
And I can tell the people at the church to call her. I mean, they get paid to do things like that.
I want you to do that.
Jesus, I just don't feel comfortable doing that.
No, Kat, the problem is you're too comfortable.
Anybody relate? Again, I know I'm going from preaching to meddling, but I promised you truth and advertising up front. I'm aiming for impact. You leave here and talk about the donuts and the coffee, and I failed. I want you thinking about your forever. And I may not see you ever again. But the Lord, who rose from the dead to prove he is the Messiah, told me to plant a seed in your heart this day. And you will never, ever be the same. You can shun this. You can say, I'm never going back. That guy, who's he think he is? I'm a messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ, a truth teller who loves you enough to break down the barriers of coffee and donuts to get to you, to let you know that you will spend forever someplace. And you got a rock in your pocket that reminds you that you have a prepaid ticket to eternal life with the one true risen Lord. I just want to ask you what you're going to do with it. Because this isn't some kind of a forced thing. Jesus said, I went to the cross ahead of time. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But I refuse to let you walk through this existence without at least having to contemplate the question of what are you going to do with it? And he called people like me loudmouths. But loud mouths with bigger hearts than mouths to say, love them enough to share the truth. Try to do it creatively so it doesn't sound like somebody with a bullhorn. Let them know that it's not about facts as much as it's about love. But let them know that the facts and love matter. And you can't blur this into some spirituality thing. There's one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Now, up to this point, I have shared with you history. History that most of you no doubt are familiar with. Now, the fact that you're familiar with it doesn't mean you've done anything with it in the past. And I'm challenging you right now to take this 800-pound gorilla called the gospel of Jesus Christ and to wrestle with it. To do it in light of your forever. Not about your brunch in an hour. But you are forever. What are you going to do with this? And now I'm going to shift gears. We've been talking about the past, giving basically a history lesson, unpacking some of these words, the grace, which really points to the relationship of with the Lord Jesus. Be with 24/7, 100% all in who you are. Are you there? We talk about God's people having to take action. When you receive this gift of grace, it creates change. That change is anchored in love. Love in action becomes who you are. There's a Greek word for this. It's called agape. That's the love that is Christ-like. The love that loves even the unlovely. The love that loves when you don't want to love. The love that goes beyond your personal preferences, desires, whims, and wants. The love that says, I am going to the best of my ability, under the power and the privilege of my relationship with Jesus Christ, I am going to love you with a Christ-like love. That love, my friends, takes action. That love never sits still without doing something. It may be that you're not mobile, but you're praying. You're doing something in action to represent Christ and to share His truth and love. Now, that is especially important if today you do not know Christ as Lord and Savior. Now I want to talk to you about the present and the future. You need to get to this place because eternity is coming. The Bible tells us we're going into the book of Revelation. Most of you are familiar with this to know, oh, that's the book of prophecy. That's the book that talks about end times. You come back. You want to read the headlines? I'm going to read you today's headlines out of our Bible. God is not only speaking in today, He's taking words right out of the Bible and putting them on the front pages of our newspaper. You can't understand current events if you don't understand the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, the book of Ezekiel, and Matthew chapter 24. And we're going there. You come and spend the next months here, and you'll understand what's going on around the world. But I don't really care to do a social studies class. You come because your eternity is just around the corner. And change is needed. And if you say, well, Pastor Jeff, I already know where I'm going and I'm fine and I don't want to get too busy, you better recheck your ticket, because that attitude is not consistent with Christ-likeness. But if you are a Christian, then I say come, because there needs to be a sense of urgency, because the people that you know, love, care about, and are around on a constant basis, they need to know that action in love needs to be taken to pursue Christ. I want to show you one more video. This one's not funny. This one's called, I Wish We'd All Been Ready. You see, Easter Sunday is only a celebration for those who are ready. And I pray it's a wake-up call for the rest.
And war, and all of us got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. The children died, the days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. And I wish we'd all been ready. And there's no time. Change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. A man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill, one disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to
change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind.
Oh yeah.
You. Father spoke, the demons dying. How could you have been so blind? There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. No. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. I hope we'll all be
left. You've been left behind.
I hope we'll all be
left. You've been left behind.
I hope we'll all be
left. You've been left.
I want to make sure that we're all heading to heaven together. That's why I don't give you an Easter egg sermon. In the end, I want to go back to where I started in the beginning. The first video you saw centered on Doubting Thomas. I pray that you picked that up. The Doubting Thomas scene where Thomas said, yeah, I just can't buy into that. Maybe you're there. Maybe you say, you know, back off, preacher. Come on. Enough's enough. The book of Revelation says that Jesus is coming back. We're going to walk through the entire book, slowly but surely. Let me read to you the verse just before the verse that I've shared with you this morning. Remember, the last words of the Bible spoken by John, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's children. Last word? Amen. Amen is an affirmation saying, yes, Lord, yes. I want you to be able to share in the last word of the Bible. Amen. Yes, I accept the grace, which is the relationship with the Lord who rolled away the stone to prove that he is the one true capital L Lord. And I walk with him 24/7. If you're not there, you don't get to use the last word of the Bible. That's there for his children. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation an awful lot of what things are going to look like in what are known as the end times as we prepare for Jesus' second coming. Let me tell you this. It says that it'll happen when Israel becomes a country again. For 2,000 years, Israel was scattered around the world. And May 14th, 1948, Israel became a globally recognized country again. The Bible says that in that generation, the generation that sees Israel come back together as a nation, will see the second coming of Christ. Biblically, a generation is 70 to 80 years. 2028, if you're doing the math. Now, the Bible makes it clear that no man will know when. But Jesus tells us that you will recognize the season in much the same way that you recognize the season with a tree or with the weather. It says, as you read Revelation, and we'll go there, that you'll know it's getting close when Russia and Iran form a military alliance. In 2,600 years after Daniel wrote that, it never happened. It's happening right now. It says that there will be a one world order. 6 months or a year ago, you'd have said that's crazy and it's impossible. And today you watch the headline news and world leaders are telling you. You know what would be a good thing here is if we get one world order. It says that you'll know it's close when you go to a one world currency, which is ridiculous, could never be. I watched the President of the United States and his secretary say, you know, that's worth thinking about, days ago. I wish we'd all been ready. The Bible says that there will be a tremendous tribulation here on the earth. Prior to Jesus' second and final coming, those that know Jesus as Lord and Savior will be taken up in the air before 7 years of hell on earth. I want you to be in the raptured church. And I want you to be ready. Easter Sunday is the wake-up call or the celebration of that fact. And I'm here to tell you, you're running out of time if you're a doubting Thomas. And please, please, please take this eternally serious. When the church is lifted up in what is known as the rapture, I want you to imagine what a world, which today is going to hell in a handbasket, will be like when all of the Christ-likeness, all the salt and light is gone. Now, if you think I'm lying, you come back and you walk through the book of Revelation with us. I will give you truth in love with a heavy dose of application because I love you. Would you pray with me? Father God, we come to you on this Easter Sunday thanking you that we can know that we know that we know that we have an invitation, a prepaid ticket to eternity with you. Heaven, if we will love you and accept you as Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that this Easter Sunday 2009 be a day where lives and eternities are changed forever. Father, if we haven't been in the game, then I pray that you'll wake us up and get us out on the field. If we've been doubting Thomas's, let this be the day where we lay down our doubts, which are really nothing more than cloaked disguises of selfishness. And let us accept the gift of grace, the relationship with the God of all creation, big enough to create all of creation, and yet so specific as to know the numbers of hairs on my head, and big enough in love to take all of the ugliness of the sin of who I have been and to allow me to bang that nail that is me into the cross through the flesh of Jesus. And Lord, when you could have come down from the cross and squashed those people like a bug, I thank you that you loved us all enough to let them continue where you then laid down your life. It was not taken, but that you laid it down so that 3 days later you could pick it up, roll that stone away, and come out saying, you didn't have to go on Friday, but I'm calling you to join me this Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday. Lord, on behalf of all of your children, I have the mighty honor and privilege to say, amen and amen.